The sound cuts through the parking lot first. Not the gunshot, the shouting. Two voices, close, sharp. People loading groceries pause without meaning to. A cart rolls free and taps a bumper. Someone tells their kid to get in the car. Nobody knows yet how fast this is going to turn. It is still daylight, the kind that makes everything feel ordinary. The store doors slide open and shut. A receipt flutters across the asphalt. One man stands by his vehicle, shoulders tight, hands out like he wants space and respect at the same time. Another man closes the distance instead of backing off. There is no warning from the sky, no siren, no buildup anyone will remember later as the moment to leave. Just anger carried forward from the road into a place where people think they are safe. Seconds later, one man is on the ground, the other is gone, and everyone who saw it knows the day has split cleanly in two. Chapter 1. The Parking Lot. It is late afternoon when Mark Garrity pulls into the grocery store lot. Traffic had been heavy, stop and go, horns, tight lanes, the kind of drive that leaves nerves humming even after the engine cuts off. Witnesses will later tell police there was a confrontation on the road not far from the store. A brief exchange between drivers, gestures, words through open windows, nothing physical, nothing reported at the time. Just anger carried forward. Mark parks and steps out of his vehicle. He shuts the door harder than necessary. Another car pulls in nearby. The driver parks and exits almost immediately. People are moving in and out of the store. A couple loading bags. A man pushing a cart with one wheel that will not track straight. No one is paying close attention yet. Voices. Witnesses hear shouting but cannot make out every word. The tone is clear. This is not casual. This is not ending on its own. The two men stand several feet apart at first. Hands moving, postures squared. One witness later tells police it felt like watching a fuse burn down. Mark appears upset. He gestures toward the lot entrance, back the way traffic flows in. The other man responds in kind. Someone nearby looks over and then looks away. People do this more often than they admit. The distance between the men closes. What happens next unfolds fast enough that accounts vary. Some say the argument peaks and stalls. Others say it never pauses at all. A firearm is produced. Investigators will later determine the weapon was brought to the scene by the other driver. At this moment, witnesses only register shock, a sudden shift. Voices cut off, air pulled tight. Shots are fired. The sound echoes off parked cars and storefront glass. Several people duck instinctively. Someone screams. A cart tips over. Mark Garrity is struck. He falls near his vehicle. He does not get back up. Blood spreads across the asphalt. No one approaches at first. The man with the firearm turns and runs to his car. Tires squeal as he exits the lot. It is over in seconds. Someone fumbles for a phone. A bystander dials 911 with shaking hands. They struggle to explain what just happened. A man shot. Parking lot. The shooter fled. Others stand frozen. A woman backs away slowly, her hands raised like she might be told to stop. A child asks what happened and no one answers. Mark lies still. The groceries he came to buy remain inside the store. First responders are dispatched immediately. Officers are en route while witnesses try to hold on to details. Color of the car, direction it went, what the man looked like. Each answer overlaps and contradicts the next. Police arrive within minutes. They secure the area. Tape goes up. Patrol cars block entrances. An officer checks for a pulse and already knows the answer. Mark Garrity is pronounced dead at the scene. Detectives arrive shortly after. They begin separating witnesses. Statements are taken where people stand, still pointing toward where it happened. Some cannot stop talking. Others say very little. Shell casings are located on the pavement. Their placement helps establish where the shooter stood, where Mark stood, how close they were. Surveillance cameras are identified. The grocery store has multiple angles. Nearby businesses do as well. Officers request footage immediately, aware that time matters. A preliminary timeline begins to form: road rage encounter, parking lot confrontation, shooting, flight. At this stage, police do not publicly identify a suspect. They focus on what can be proven: physical evidence, video, independent accounts. Witnesses are asked the same questions repeatedly. Did either man strike the other? Did Mark have a weapon? Did anyone hear threats? No weapon is found near Mark Garrity. The absence matters. By early evening, the lot is mostly cleared. Shoppers are turned away. Employees are sent home. The space where Mark fell is washed down later, but the shape of the event lingers. News of the shooting spreads quickly. Social media fills gaps with speculation. Police caution against rumors and ask for additional witnesses to come forward. Investigators know this case will hinge on minutes and choices. A routine drive, a chance encounter, access to a gun, a decision made with no recall. As daylight fades, the question remains unresolved. How did a moment of anger move this far, this fast, with no one able to stop it? Chapter 2. The Manhunt Window. Police work the scene while daylight drains out of the sky. The parking lot is sealed. Yellow tape stretches between light poles and cart returns. Officers log every person who crosses the perimeter. Detectives move methodically. They know the shooter is already gone. What remains is evidence and time. Witnesses are interviewed again, this time more carefully. Officers separate those who saw the argument from those who only heard the shots. Memory is fragile. Details blur fast. Investigators push for specifics before the night erases them. Descriptions come in uneven pieces. A dark sedan, maybe gray, maybe black. A man alone in the car, middle-aged, clothing unclear. Some say the shooter looked calm, others say frantic. Both could be true. Surveillance footage becomes the priority. The grocery store manager unlocks the security room. Cameras cover entrances, exits, and wide angles of the lot. Detectives review footage frame by frame. They watch the vehicles enter. They identify Mark Garrity stepping out of his car. They see the other vehicle arrive moments later. The confrontation is partially captured, not sound, just motion, gestures, the space between the two men shrinking, then the shooter moves out of frame. The gunfire is not visible, but the reaction is. People scatter, a cart rolls, Mark falls back into view. Investigators rewind again and again. They isolate the fleeing vehicle. A license plate is partially visible in one angle. Another camera from a nearby business captures the car exiting the lot and turning onto a main road. The timeline tightens. Traffic cameras along nearby intersections are requested. Patrol units canvass the route. They know this kind of case can break quickly or go cold just as fast. Detectives reconstruct the earlier road rage encounter. Witnesses describe aggressive driving, tailgating, sudden braking, hand gestures exchanged through windows, no contact reported, no collision. This matters legally. It frames motive, but does not justify force. A clearer vehicle description emerges. The car is identified as a specific make and model. Registration databases are searched. A short list of possible owners appears. Within hours, investigators narrow in on one individual. Police locate the suspect vehicle parked at a residence not far from the shooting. Officers set up a perimeter. They wait. This is not a standoff yet. It is containment. The suspect exits the residence and is taken into custody without incident. No shots fired. No resistance reported. The firearm believed to be used in the shooting is recovered. Ballistics will later confirm it matches shell casings from the parking lot. At this stage, investigators proceed carefully and say only that a weapon has been seized. The arrest is announced publicly later that evening. Police state that a suspect is in custody in connection with the shooting death of Mark Garrity. They do not release the suspect's name immediately. They emphasize that the investigation is ongoing. Detectives conduct interviews. They review the suspect's statements alongside video evidence and witness accounts. Allegations are separated from verifiable facts. The central question becomes intent. Did the shooter feel threatened? Did Mark Garrity advance? Did words escalate into perceived danger? These questions matter. They shape charges. They shape outcomes. Investigators document that Mark Garrity was unarmed. No weapon was found on him or in his vehicle. Witnesses do not report seeing him brandish an object. Surveillance footage does not show him striking the other man. The suspect's claim, according to court records later filed, centers on fear and escalation. That claim is treated as an allegation pending corroboration. Detectives test it against evidence. Distances are measured. Positions are mapped. The angle of shell casing supports the location of the shooter. The spacing suggests the men were close, but not physically engaged. Timestamps show how little time passed between the vehicles arriving and the shots being fired. The window is measured in seconds. Investigators also look at what did not happen. No attempt to leave, no retreat, no call for help. Instead, a weapon was produced. By the end of the first night, prosecutors are briefed. They review preliminary findings. They advise investigators on charging thresholds. The case moves quickly because the facts are clear enough to act. The suspect remains in custody. Bail considerations are discussed. Public concern grows as details emerge. Road rage is familiar. A parking lot shooting is not abstract. Mark Garrity's family is notified officially. Officers deliver the news in person. There is no good way to do this, only directness. By morning, the parking lot is open again. Cars fill the same spaces. People walk past the spot without knowing exactly where it happened. But the case is no longer about where. It is about what the evidence will prove and how much room the law allows when anger meets lethal force. The pressure now shifts from search to judgment. Chapter 3, No Way Back. By the time prosecutors file formal charges, the shape of the case is already set. The evidence does not sprawl, it points inward. Court records outline what investigators say can be proven. A road rage encounter, a confrontation carried into a grocery store parking lot, a firearm drawn, shots fired, a man dead. The suspect is charged based on those facts. The filing separates allegation from confirmation. Prosecutors state what witnesses saw, what video shows, what ballistics confirm. They avoid motive language beyond what the evidence supports. Intent becomes the center of gravity. The defense position, according to court filings, is framed around fear. The claim is that the suspect believed the situation was escalating toward harm. That belief is presented as the reason force was used. Prosecutors counter with distance, timing, and absence. No weapon on Mark Garrity. No physical contact captured on video. No evidence of a strike. No attempt to disengage. The law does not care about anger. It cares about necessity. Investigators explain in sworn statements how quickly the confrontation moved and how final the decision was. Seconds between words and gunfire. No pause. No warning shot. No retreat. They lay out the physical evidence. Shell casings recovered from the asphalt. Ballistics linking them to the recovered firearm. Surveillance footage aligning with witness timelines. Traffic camera images confirming the route taken after the shooting. Each piece reinforces the same conclusion. This was not an accident. It was not a struggle over a weapon. It was a choice made under pressure with irreversible consequences. Mark Garrity's family begins to speak through statements read in court and released publicly. They describe a man who left home for groceries and never returned. They describe shock, then anger, then a quiet that does not lift. They do not speculate about the shooter. They focus on absence. A chair empty, a phone that will never ring with his name again. The grocery store parking lot is mentioned only briefly in hearings. It is treated as a location, not a symbol. But everyone in the room understands the weight of it. A place built for errands became the site of a death that did not need to happen. The case does not hinge on mystery. It hinges on restraint. Prosecutors argue that the confrontation could have ended at multiple points, on the road, in the lot. At the moment, distance still existed between the men. Each exit was available. None were taken. Defense filings emphasize emotion and perception. They do not dispute the shooting. They dispute the interpretation of threat. That line is thin and dangerous in cases like this. The court schedules hearings. Bail is addressed. The suspect remains in custody as the process moves forward. Outside the courtroom, the public response settles into a familiar rhythm. Initial outrage, online debate, then quiet. Another name added to a list few will revisit after the case concludes. But for investigators and prosecutors, the work remains exacting. They prepare to show a jury not just what happened, but why the law responds the way it does. They will ask jurors to focus on evidence, not impulse, on what was reasonable, not what was felt. Road rage is common. Armed escalation is not protected by frustration. The parking lot returns fully to normal. Lines repainted, carts stacked, new shoppers park in the same space without knowing. This is how places absorb violence and move on. People still argue in traffic, still carry anger into the next stop. Most of the time it ends there. This time it did not. The final filings summarize the case without drama, dates, times written plainly, evidence listed cleanly. The charge reflects the outcome, not the emotion. One man is dead. One man will stand trial. There is no version of events where both leave the parking lot unchanged. The case becomes a reminder written in legal language. Ordinary moments are fragile. Control matters more than pride, and once a line is crossed, there is no rewind. Only record, only consequence, and no way back.